be easier to stay on the trail than to go off it. Right now, there's no improvements at all.
So that you're coming at this, then your claim here is that you're coming at this from a practical standpoint, that you can't police the question.
Yeah, we can't. Well, we can't. Not only can we not police, we can't even provide the improved trails.
Okay. These trails don't exist yet. I get that.
That's correct. Right. There are trails on the site, but as many have testified, they're too steep. There's erosion that's happening on the site now currently.
So remind us, Michelle, the timeline for the completion of your project.
We are looking to have that to council this year.
And Michelle, I mean, actually, this question for everybody, including my colleagues. I mean, I'm concerned about the suggestion that the off-road bicycling master plan could recommend particular forms of trails in Riverview, but the decision we make today is going to preclude consideration of what they're recommending. So I'd like some assurance that it will be possible to consider changes to the Riverview Trails Plan if the off-road bicycling master plan recommends different options.
Well, yes, Commissioner, that's what your amendment makes abundantly clear.
Right.
And we can always amend master plans.
But based on what Director Abate said, it sounded like, well, we are precluding certain forms of mountain biking. The alignment we're recommending is locked in stone, and that's not going to change.
Well, I think there's two things. There is a alignment that's shown in the plan, but as Emily said, in all of our master plans, they're conceptual. The reason they're switchbacks is because we asked the consultants to minimize the slope on the trail to minimize erosion. So that is happening. Our responsibility when we go from a master plan to construction drawings is it consistent with the master plan? If there's big deviations, as the commissioner said, where we're considering big deviations, we go back to the group who advised the master planning process. But we're doing this. A good example is the Gateway Plaza and Park. We're currently designing that now, and it's changed a little bit. The play area is a little bit different, a little bit bigger, but it's consistent with the master plan. And that's our pledge to the council, is to make sure that we deliver projects that are consistent with the master plan.
Commissioner Novick, this is not a perfect analogy, but we adopt every 20 years a comprehensive plan. And we often have hearings in this body where there are competing, sometimes complementary, but often competing values that we have to reconcile. The ultimate arbiter of how we reconcile competing values is the council action. And what your amendment ensures is that the work product of a separate committee and recommendations come back to the council for discussion and debate, and the council, as I read the charter, has the final say on that.
And as this amendment says.
And I think the best example is how we deal with land use matters, where there's competing values, and here there are genuinely competing values. And I think one of the benefits of the plan is it identifies kind of a hierarchy, and it points out that there's some places within this natural area, which I will remind people, were purchased in part with ratepayer dollars because of a particular purpose. And we have to be very careful when we use ratepayer dollars, because we're not in the mountain biking business, we're not in the recreation business, we're not in courts remind us we're not in lots of businesses. We are in the water quality business. We are in the watershed preservation business. We are in the natural area resource business. That's a great service that this has done, which I think, Mayor, you used the word impasse earlier. I regret you did so, because I think there's a broad consensus here about the value of protecting the natural area pieces. The question is, how can we harmonize a perfectly legitimate claim of a responsible user group within that context? That is our challenge. And by taking up a holistic view, which we funded in terms of a citywide planning process, we've committed to welcoming our friends, the mountain bikers. As I said, and I still have the scars to prove it, when we worked through the a similar discussion in Forest Park that didn't go as far as I had hoped, you know, there's some precedence for this. Once upon a time, there were people who frowned on skateboarders and said, how does that fit within our system? Now we're very proud that we have dedicated skateboard parks, and we have more to build out. There are lots of uses that over time have evolved. The question isn't whether we're pro or con. That's an ideological construct, and I reject it. The question is, how do we harmonize where and under what circumstances? And that, Mayor Hales, is the same criteria that you've applied on this council in 25 years. It does not prejudice one group against another. But I would maintain, particularly since as the commissioner in charge of the utility, that has to be particularly careful about how we use ratepayer dollars. The harmonizing of any recreational activity, hiking, walking, running, using your dogs, riding a bike, in a sensitive natural area, particularly when it's been acquired with ratepayer dollars, those lines have to be very carefully drawn. I think the management plan has done a laudable job, but Commissioner Novick's amendment ensures that the council has a robust discussion if we get a recommendation from the citywide task force that we ought to put some resources here. My guess is that we're going to get recommendations for a plethora of options, because the idea is not just to have one place, it's to have many. That's why we're pursuing Gateway Green. That's why we work on pump trails in various parks. That's why we're looking at expanding existing facilities in Forest Park. It's holistic. And I've heard nothing which says that we're restricted when it comes back to us from making necessary changes. If the committee, in its wisdom, thinks this is appropriate, and if the council, a majority of the council, believes so, and I believe there's a majority of the council that's already kind of signaled that they'd like to see if we can be flexible on this. So I think the record's been made.
So, Commissioner, one thing I'm particularly concerned about, I mean, I thought that my amendment it was basically saying we are not making decisions about mountain biking in Riverview today. But what Director Abate said is, yes, we are making a decision that certain forms of mountain biking will be prohibited. Now, I'm not a mountain biking expert, but I actually like to the audience to indicate with raised hands, are you concerned by that statement of Director Abate, or is that okay? So, I mean, if we are making this, I wasn't prepared today to make decisions about precluding certain forms of mountain biking, and from what Director Abate said, adopting this report would do that.
But we're precluding particular areas. So the plan is absolutely silent on whether particular kinds of recreational activities are allowed in the sensitive inner area. It says all of them are not allowed. It says that we're protecting the inner area. So it's not that we're saying everybody else is welcome to wander down to the streams and mountain bikes have to stay out. It's saying everybody's going to stay out.
Yeah, if I might just clarify, I wasn't very clear. Right now, on page 30, it says interim prohibited biking of any kind within the site. That's interim. That's today. If you accept this plan, but your amendment says, but we have a citywide effort that's looking, and it might in fact make recommendations to change that, and we could do that. So what I meant to say is not in perpetuity. It's subject to the council's direction after the citywide plan.
Well, let me just read from page 48. As plan implementation, the use of mountain bikes will remain a prohibited use until completion of the city's off-road cycling master plan, through which Riverview Natural Area will be considered as a candidate property for cycling. It says that right in the plan.
Emily, you look like you're going to add some illumination as well, or did Mike cover it?
Mike covered it. I think I just would like to reiterate for all of us the vision of what Riverview Natural Area was purchased for. And we have a lot of user groups throughout the city that want to use our natural areas for all sorts of different things. I think through this process, and though it was limited on our whole discussion of mountain biking, it really brought forward and protects the natural resources and the aquatic functions of which Riverview was purchased for. And I think that is very important to keep as our highest standard for this site. And I think also that through our design criteria, which we were very thoughtful about, again, I want to reiterate, that we looked at that the outer 300 feet is possible for recreation. That is what we instructed our consultant to do. They did the best job they could without going out and staking in the field and looking where every turn is and where every tree is. And if mountain biking is brought back in the site again, we will be looking within that 300 feet as the best place to put a trail that will accommodate all users, safely.
So is it possible, in your opinion, that once the off-road plan is completed, that there could be additional trail sections in that outer 300 feet in addition to the line that's shown on the map now?
It could be considered as long as the goals for protecting natural resources are also maintained. What I really want people to understand is it would be very difficult for us, both the way the property was purchased and why we're protecting the natural resources, to put trails through in the interior of that site.
Oh, I understood that. I'm saying in that outer 300 feet, could there be more than one trail?
That is a possibility, and that's what I wanted to, you know, it depends on what mountain biking comes in. We may have a discussion where we would have, as I said before, a pedestrian trail and a biking trail next to it. If that, at some segment of the trail, is going to provide safety, then that is what we will do. We haven't had that opportunity to design. We will look at all those things through the design process that meets the trail guidelines and the goals of the natural resource management plan.
I've been on this council 7 years, and I've lost track of how many plans we've adopted. But, you know, in almost every other context, we are urged to adopt a plan which sets forth a framework and then to look at the specific cases. We did it in the Bicycle Master Plan. We did it in the Climate Action Plan. We did it most recently in a plan that stated our values around export of fossil fuels. Time and time again, we set the vision with the plan, understanding that it is inherently flexible, but it sets out the things that we have to look at. And I think what you've heard from your project manager on the second part of this exercise, which is the citywide look on off-road cycling, is that this plan offers a set of values and cautionary notes and science upon which good judgments can be made about opportunities citywide. But it is our tradition to adopt the plan first, set the broader case, and then come in and look at how we harmonize that with other things. And I don't, in this case, Mayor, I have a hard time seeing how any particular group, hikers, runners, people with dogs, off-road cyclists, and others are being treated any differently.
No, I hear you on that. I guess the purpose of this discussion, in my mind, is to make sure we get some things on the record and to get some things clear about what we are going to consider and aren't going to consider later on if we do adopt this plan. So, Mike, let me return to something you said in passing, but I think it's really important, and it's maybe part of why we got to this level of anxiety about mountain biking in general and about this plan in particular. And I'm going to sort of ask you to hold up your hand and swear allegiance to a principle, but I think it's not going to be that hard for you. But every parks commissioner and every parks director has adhered to a principle in Portland that the park system ought to have big shoulders, and that every recreational use and every recreational activity should, to the best of our ability, be accommodated, and that new things like skateboards or mountain bikes come along. Or, God forbid, you know, drone competitions. I'm making that one up. I hope that's not here yet.
The permit is in on that one. Yeah.
But we do have people flying little gasoline-powered airplanes around in circles in Delta Park. So, you know, we accommodate a almost bewildering variety of recreational uses. And the point is that we keep trying to do that. I trust that you, like your predecessors, believe that's still a good principle and that we should still be trying to the best of our ability and with the dollars we can lay our hands on to meet all those different needs that our citizens have.
I do, Mr. Mayor, and I would expand that to say one of the things that's very important is the role that Parks and Recreation plays on community health. And in these times, the more we can do to give people opportunities to get outside and physically active, the better, because our culture is fighting against that. And virtual is not the same as real. And so I'm committed to providing as wide a diversity of recreational opportunities as possible. We've talked about bike polo. That's one of my favorites, just because it's a very small group, but they're very passionate. They're very committed to it. We do have an amazing park system that can accommodate many, many diverse outdoor recreational activities.
Right, Mike, you gave a wonderful answer, but I'm going to qualify it because I'm going to speak for the Bureau of Environmental Services. Our shoulders are less broad.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people coming to us all the time with extremely compelling asks in natural areas, including creating places for people to camp, creating recreational opportunities, staging events. They're all very compelling. But we are not in the recreational parks business. And we have a different filter. And we are going to err in our analysis on the side of protecting the natural resources. And the challenge, Mayor, in the Great Portland tradition, is harmonizing these values. I do not see them as inconsistent. And Riverview, because of the different funding sources, Metro and Two Pots and the city, is a unique challenge of how we can harmonize. And we've had some testimony about an easement, which is pretty important document, which has some specific language. But BES and Parks have a great tradition of working together. We're all committed to the same thing, which is a better Portland. Can we find ways to try to harmonize? Yes. Have we made a record at this hearing and where there has been a signal that we need to be as flexible as possible within the constraints of the ecological health of the property we acquired? Yes. But respectfully, with that now in the record, I think we can adopt this plan and still point to a day when there's a larger discussion about creating broader opportunities throughout the city for off-road cyclers, who are a very, very important constituency in the city and in particular within the park system.
Thank you.
Mayor, where are you at this point? I mean, I'm frankly a little concerned about voting today, given what I've heard, and it would be nice if Commissioner Saltzman were here. But, I mean, I think you share my concerns. Are you satisfied that we are going to have enough flexibility going forward that you'll be willing to support to vote for this?
I share your concerns, and I was originally interested in delaying. I think given this discussion and your amendment, I could vote for it today with some things on the record that I'll add to what I've already put on the record. So if that's satisfactory to you, Commissioner Novick, if you're willing to proceed today, I'd like to proceed and take a vote.
With considerable hesitation, yes, but I appreciate the discussion we've just had and Commissioner Fish's remark about significant flexibility.
Okay. So, okay, let's take a vote. Thank you very much, staff. Let's take a vote, please, unless there's any further questions that you have for our resource people.
Well, thank you very much, everybody who's participated on all sides, and there's not just two sides to this, there's multiple sides. I am more proud than ever of my staff in Portland Parks and Recreation, and thank you so much, especially Emily Roth, who has guided this process through thick and thin and sometimes has had to implement directions of her commissioner and others that were not able to explain fully to the public. We do have a responsibility to ratepayers, as Commissioner Fish mentioned, that this is not only a park. It's managed by Portland Parks and Recreation, but it was purchased with millions of dollars of ratepayer dollars. And we need to be very careful then to protect the purposes for which it was purchased. With the input of my park staff and with the Northwest Trail Alliance and others, I have learned through this process that it is possible to construct trails that are safe and for all users, they can be careful of habitat and natural resource conservation. With the discussion that we've had today of where the trails are, not only for potential mountain bike use, but also for all human use, I will be open to a recommendation from the off-road cycling plan, as Bob Salinger of Audubon said, that it seems that it is quite feasible to put a mountain bike path around in or near the designated location of the trail. The important part to me is the protection of the internal watershed and habitat area, and I think that's the key value of this plan. Also want to thank, of course, Mike Abate and BES Director Michael Jordan and Maya Spencer, who, as Emily noted, put a lot of time into responding to constituent concerns. Thank you very much to all of the Project Advisory Committee members for your 2 years of service, not only on this plan, but for really pushing the discussion of citywide, what are we going to do to accommodate this use that really doesn't have facilities in Portland. I dedicated Parks money to buying the Gateway Green property, and I'm very committed to seeing if we can turn that into a new facility for biking. The pump track at Ventura Park is phenomenal, and I want to see how many more of those can we put in at parks citywide, and also to revisit the issue of Forest Park and where there might be some more appropriate places for all kinds of recreational opportunities where we could share our natural areas. I mean, I think that the passion that I've heard in the room today is partly because there isn't enough to go around. And that is the case in many of the issues that we hear about, be it the city budget, be it housing, all kinds of city services, and indeed land. We just don't have enough for everything that everybody would want to do in them. And so we need to develop these kinds of thoughtful master plans that decide in a framework what we think the bottom line is. I appreciated Mike Houck's comment that he wouldn't feel comfortable moving forward with the off-road cycling plan unless this master plan is accepted, because it does set the framework. But as was noted, master plans are subject to revisiting. If necessary, we can bring that to council. And it's important to have a framework that sets the design guidelines and some of the value, many of the values and principles. Parks was a partner in this purchase because we as a city saw the recreational opportunities in Riverview and recreational opportunities of all kinds. I particularly appreciated the second to last speaker who discussed the issues of dogs in this area. I was frankly expecting at least an hour and a half of testimony from dog owners, and it's a testimony to the thoroughness of the committee's deliberations and of the community outreach that indeed dog owners, you didn't know about this hearing, but also accept that this area was purchased with some very special purposes in mind, and that water quality has to be one of the foremost of that. I appreciate my colleague's discussion, and especially Commissioner Novick's amendment, which calls out the part of the plan implementation that indeed the council is going to revisit this after the discussion. It's really important to know, too, about the funding, that we adopt master plans in part because then we can go after state and other grants to get funding to implement them. There's almost no grant that you can go for unless a master plan has been adopted. And so that's one of the many reasons for adopting this plan today rather than waiting, is that we want to start looking around for opportunities for funding, because $5 million is a lot of money, and this year Parks is being asked to cut $2.9 million, and we have hundreds of millions of deferred maintenance on existing facilities that we need to address, as well as looking at how do we expand opportunities in many different areas of Portland where we frankly don't have enough. So thank you very much, colleagues, for your support of this plan. Aye.
Chris?
Well, Commissioner Fritz has said just about everything I would like to say, but I'll start by just making a comment about how we have these discussions. In the old days, when my family actually lived, we shared the same house and they weren't all in Europe, I would go home after a day like this and I would say that I'm surprised I get paid to do this work. And the point that I would make is that I have a front row seat in something that is kind of expected in Portland but doesn't work as well in other places, which is a civil conversation among people that have disagreements, in which everybody is passionate and thoughtful. And sitting up here, I agree with some stuff and disagree, but nonetheless, we give each other the respect of a chance to be heard, and then we have to make a decision. So I want to thank everyone who took time out today to come and testify and make a record. And I think the mayor has indicated earlier that the importance of having a record, because that record will guide the next steps in our process. I've had the supreme honor of having been the commissioner in charge of Portland Parks and Rec which in the last 5 or 6 years won the gold medal as the best managed park system in the world, country. And I now have the honor of being in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services. And Mike Houck, I really appreciate what you said in your testimony about the quality of the people who work for those two bureaus and the quality of their work. And again, we can have disagreements about specific details in plans, we can have disagreements about process, and we can have an honest disagreement about sequencing. But let's take a moment to celebrate the professionals who work in both bureaus and provide great public service to our city. And in particular, Emily, thank you for your presentation and the work you've done today. It was customarily superb. I look back over 7 or so years on the council, and the acquisition of Riverview was one of the handful of the proudest moments of my service. And it wasn't just that I got to stand with my favorite governor, Barbara Roberts, and my colleague Dan Saltzman and the Trust for Public Land, a lot of other people, and celebrate the moment. But I had learned in looking at some old Olmsted maps and plans, and I had learned in talking to some graybeards, that we had a chance to acquire a wildlife corridor which would be the envy of the country, a wildlife corridor on the west side, which would serve many, many purposes, but would set us up for generations to come, and we had a unique moment. And so a lot of people came together to make it happen, and it wasn't a sure thing. And the closing, when we closed and acquired the property, that wasn't the end of the story because we had to defend that acquisition in a lawsuit. And that lawsuit and some of those issues has something to do with a little hiccup in this process that some people in this room disagree with and are still concerned with. But people up here in our positions have to balance a number of things, including legal advice and risks. And we sometimes have to do things that don't make us popular. But if we didn't occasionally do things that don't make us popular, you wouldn't want us to sit in these chairs. Now, as for where we go forward, this is a vitally important natural area that has a huge impact on water quality and temperature and on listed fish and other things. And this plan tells us that we may be able to accommodate both the preservation of the resources that really matter and that are sensitive and what I consider to be a wholly legitimate claim of an important user group of our system that they want to have access to it. And I actually believe that there are within the ranks of mountain bikers, the majority of mountain bikers love and care for our system just like every other user. And I hate it when we start sort of making generalizations about people's behavior. And I, after all, I have a bike at home, and I'm proud to use it occasionally. So we shouldn't do that. But what we're doing today is something very important. We're adopting a plan which states very clearly our values. And there's a hierarchy of values here. And at the top of the chain is we're protecting something in nature that is irreplaceable. And we're going to ask everybody to make some accommodations so we can protect something that has a very important function to our long-term health as a community. And a lot of people have fought long and hard to protect natural areas in the city. And I believe what we're doing today is in the great tradition of a long tradition that goes back 150 years, the biggest system, the Olmsteds. I want to thank the PAC members for their service, all the people who have come here to testify, and I want to commit to you, Mayor, because you've taken the lead on the citywide look, and you led the effort to secure funding, which I was proud to support. I come with an open mind and open heart in the next phase of this discussion. I have some history here, both in trying to find the balance in Forest Park, where I fell short, but in working with my colleague, Commissioner Fritz, to acquire Gateway Green, which has the potential to be one of the most significant off-road cycling opportunities in the state, and working with the Northwest Trails Alliance on some pump tracks, and thinking holistically about how do we bring this important user group into the family, and I'm committed to doing so. So I thank everybody for what I think has been an important hearing, and today I'm proud to cast my vote aye. Oh, excuse me, and I thank my colleague, Commissioner Novick, for his amendment, which I thought was customarily thoughtful and statesmanlike, and I think it enshrined an important point in our discussion, so I thank you for that. Aye.
Novick.
I'm not often accused of being statesmanlike, so I appreciate that, Commissioner Fish. I remain troubled by some of the testimony I've heard about the process that led us to this point. And I understand that there's a number of people in this room that don't feel comfortable with this plan and think that it forecloses options that should be considered. But I trust my colleagues, and I appreciate their adoption of my amendment and their assurances that that's not window dressing, that in fact they're willing to consider changes to the review trails plan if the off-road bicycling master plan, based on the suggestions in the off-road bicycling master plan when that's completed. But I think that it's clear that the off-road bicyclists in this room have our attention. We will be looking at this. We will not just forget about this and decide that we've already made all the decisions that are to be made in rear review. So I encourage your continued advocacy, and we will, I think we've made it clear that we're willing to work with you on the actual implementation of this plan and possibly modifications of this plan in the future. Thank you all. And thanks to staff, thanks to all the advocates on all sides. Aye.
Hills?
Let me offer some reassurances and some further direction to this discussion. To some extent, I'm going to echo the good words of my colleagues, but I want to put these things in my own words. My first reassurances are almost going to sound legalistic, but I think they are important. We're not adopting a land use plan here or a street map. We're adopting a master plan. We're adopting a management plan. And it's important. It's an important document. It says this is what we plan to do here, but it is not as legalistic as some of those other documents are. And it's not our first rodeo when it comes to adopting these kinds of plans. Commissioner Fish mentioned the Olmsted Plan. The Olmsted Plan was drafted in 1900, 1901, and adopted by the City Council. Okay, Mike, 1903, sorry. And it was what planners today would call a blob plan. It said, you know, it's going to be a long way from Portland to a forest someplace, so buy that ridge there northwest of town and create a forest reserve. By the top of Mount Tabor, by that bluff down in Selwood, which was really a radical thing to say because I think at that point Selwood was still another city detail. By that bluff in Selwood from the railroad company because that would be a great park. It was very general, and we haven't carried it all out, but we keep trying to. Actually, we still refer to it. We still ground some of our decisions in that plan. But Lord knows it hasn't guided us in every particular because it was a general plan. This one's more specific than that, but this discussion was important because we haven't nailed down every last detail of where the trails will be in this park, and nor should we at this point. So that sounds a little legalistic, but it nevertheless I think is important that we're adopting a management plan. Second reassurance, I'm really sorry, and that's why I had that little colloquy with Director Abate and Emily, that there's some mistrust in this room. And I'm sorry that there's been either a real or perceived exclusion of legitimate interests from a Portland process where we make policy, because we always try to have all the legitimate interests at the table. And mountain bikers are a legitimate interest in the management of public spaces in the city of Portland. I'm not the only one up here that believes that. In fact, we all believe that. And I guess that's the thing I want to stress here, is that one of the reasons that I was wounded by hearing that mistrust is I just want to tell you that you're dealing with public servants, these folks and those folks, who are people of goodwill and who are not interested in exclusions or Machiavellian schemes that corrupt that legitimate public process where everybody gets to be heard. So if that perception was felt by some of you in this process, I hope you'll forgive and give some credit and hope to these good people, because I know Emily. She's a great planner. Mike Abate is a great parks director. You got three former and current parks commissioners up here who all love the system, and Steve one day was going to want to be parks commissioner just so he can say that too. So you got people of goodwill that want to work together on this, and we will. one of the reasons I'm going to support this is it's been made clear a couple times, but let me again say it in my own words. This is not a generic park. It's not, to even be more flippant about it, not just hills and dirt. It's a natural area that was purchased to be a natural area, and Commissioner Fish emphasized that, and I subscribe to that. One more legalistic point, and it's one of the reasons why I put it in the record. The prohibition against mountain biking in this natural area is an interim prohibition, because the trail network that would be a place where mountain biking could occur in a responsible way isn't there today. And so that interim prohibition is reasonable for now. I don't think it will be reasonable when we get to the final version of what the trail network in this park will be. Finally, the reason I asked for and that this council supported coming up with an off-road cycling plan for the city of Portland is back to that point that I made with Mike Abate. Our park system should have big shoulders. And Commissioner Fritz, you're right, there isn't enough to go around now, but there should be. There should be. In a city with 200 parks, one of them 5,000 acres, there should be ample places where people can go ride their bike without burning a quart of gasoline to get to the place that they do that. And you know that I believe that, and these other elected leaders here believe that, and we're going to get there, because it is a legitimate recreational use. And we haven't done a very good job of accommodating it, and it's time. So Andy, and to all of you others who advocate for this, keep advocating, because you're right. We need to accommodate this legitimate recreational use in a city with a park system with big shoulders and lots of land. And we will do that. So that process that Michelle is running is not some empty appeasement or not some way to try to make you guys go away. You're right, we need to accommodate this legitimate recreational use, and Riverview may be one of the places where we do that. So with those reassurances and asterisks, I'm prepared to adopt this management plan, and I really look forward to the completion of Michelle's work. And then again, any of you who have felt in any way like you weren't heard, please double down on getting involved in that process and making your case, because Portland should always be a place where people feel like they can come to the table, can make their case, can be heard, and where this council will listen. And that will be true. Thank you all for good work and for more good work to come. Aye. Commissioner Fritz, I think you had some comments before we close.
I do. It's always hard to be the first to talk, because then everybody else says things like, oh, yes, that was a really good point. So first of all, you referenced the off-road cycling plan. I want to acknowledge that it was the mountain biking community who came into our Parks Budget Advisory Committee about a year ago right now and made a really compelling case for putting that $300 into our proposal, in which you then grasped. And what's that? $300,000, right. Sorry. So you then took that and pulled it into the Bureau of Planning, which I think really puts it in a citywide context. So I wanted to particularly thank you for doing that, and indeed commend the mountain biking community for their advocacy. It was interesting. We had testimony about the parks budget, and earlier this week it was community gardens that were the hot spot. So we'll be addressing that tonight in our budget meeting. But then, more importantly, there's somebody who I forgot to thank, and that's Patty Howard, who worked with me for 7 years in City Hall, was my parks liaison, was hugely involved in the Riverview Management Plan, in indeed the Portland Utility Review Board and other water quality expert actions. Patty decided to move from City Hall at the end of December, so she's not here for me to say thank you to her, but I don't know if she's watching at home or not, and I just wanted to acknowledge all of her good work, and then also Pooja Bhatt and Tim Crail on my staff, who picked up after Patty left and have helped carry it home. So it really has been a good effort from everybody, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you all. Thank you very much, and we are adjourned until next week. Thank you.
Commissioner,
this is for you, because I'm not going to be here on this
thing. Thank you. Steve, thanks.
Well done.
Thank you. Already got the long stuff. Nice job. Thank you.
Falling asleep.
Okay, Nick. Commissioner. Sure. Looking at, I think, March.
After
it's, I'll have someone to my office tell you, but we agreed to do it. So that's one of our public outreach.